Okay, today is Daf Nun Beis. Today's Daf of the week is sponsored by the Daskal family, the Zeifa Nishmas, Menucha Freida Bas Yaakov. All right?
Menucha Freida Bas Yaakov Yehuda.
Menucha Freida Bas Yaakov Yehuda. The Shama should have an Aliyah. Okay. So we are on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, but the two dots on the bottom. I'm on the wrong Daf. Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Amar Abai. Okay. So just to give a little intro. So a man who marries a woman who's usher to him, like we spent a lot of time about that in Yavamos, upon divorce, right, she's usher to him, upon divorce, she does receive her ksuva. And she also receives all the tznai ksuva that the chachamim provided to the woman, but dafka those things that he is mechayev to give her when she leaves, which would be the masayim or the tosefes, things that are acquired when he leaves. But the person who marries Be'isser, he's not mechayiv in the Tanai Ksuva when they're for what the Ksuva tells him he has to give when they're married, like for Mizonos or Demei Refua. So Abai is now going to come and be mechadish adin by the Pidyona, by redeeming the wife. And he's going to make a distinction between somebody who's usher to a Kohen who's married to someone who's usher to him, and to a Yisrael who's married to a woman who's usher to him. So, the Mishnah mentioned Kohenes, right, but it comes to the Kohenes, after she's taken prisoner, she's usher to her husband, because we assume that there was some bia, and even if it was ba'ones, she'd still be usher to the kohen. But nevertheless, he has to redeem her, and then divorce her, because even if it doesn't say, ahadrinach lemidila seich in the ksuva, it's still considered a tanai ksuva. So Amar Abaye, almana le kohen gadol. Let's say you have a case of an almana le kohen gadol, probably the same deal with a grusha to a regular kohen, almana le kohen gadol. So they are married by Isser. Married by Isser. Chayiv liftona, he's still liftosa. He still has to redeem her. Why? They're be'isser, and this is why should he have to deal this? Because shani korevo ubikohenes ahadirnach lemidina seich. What's the k'nai k'suva by a kohen? The kohen writes in the k'suva, "I will return you to your country." So he doesn't say, "I'm going to return you to me." I'm returning to the country. So too here, I'm going to redeem you and return you to the Medina. Because that's exactly, it doesn't make a difference whether she was married to him be'isser or not. It's the same outcome that he's going to return her, have her re-returned to her country. Even if it's in the, that was yesterday's daf in the Mishnah. It's supposed to say in the Ksuva, and even if it doesn't say in the Ksuva, it's like Ksuva, and it's there automatically. So, right, Almana Kohen Gadol. Let's read this Rashi because it just reinforces what I said before. Kaimalah, we've established Likamon Beperek Almana Nizonis Yesh Laksuva. The Almana to the Kohen Gadol has a Ksuva Uktnai Ksuva, and it has the Tnai Ksuva Hahudul Mishkal Amefekai, things that will come out that when she leaves. Aval Tnai Ksuva Limekayim Kamei, but the Tnai Ksuva that when they are together can go Mizonos and Rufua. Those things are Mina Bivamas the less law of Beperek Yesh Mutaras. And here Abaye comes to teach us the Tnai Ksuva de Pirkuna, that the Tnai Ksuva that she has for to be redeemed, Isla de Mikari Shtabla. She has that because he was already Mishtabi to her. Shari Aflik Shera Lohaya Masneva Osivnach Leinsu, because when it comes to Kohanas, he never was Makabal himself to return her to him. Ella Adrinach Lemila Seich, only to return you to the country. Bahai Nami Karina Bahachi. And this is what it also says here. Bahai Tanai Nami Lemishkal Mafikai. So it's the same idea that we said before, that she can return it. But when it comes to a Mzeris and Mesin Yisrael, let's say Yisrael is married to a woman who is usher to him, Eino Chai Liftosa. He does not have the obligation to return to get her back. I don't understand the whole idea of this pidyon. There is also a mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim besides the kiyuv on the ksuva. So there, I mean, that's probably, maybe that's on the kehillah, not necessarily on him. But that still underscores a lot of this. So mamzeres v'nasin al Yisrael eino chayav liftosa. He does not have to redeem her if she is taken captive. She'ein ani koriba vo sivnach li'itndu. Because what would it say in the ksuva? It says, "I will return you to me." But he may not return her to me because he must divorce her. Therefore, he doesn't have this obligation to return her. Right? Rashi says, Mamzeres Nesin Yisrael, Afagav the Islak Suba, Utnaik Suba, the Lishkal Umefak, less late Tnaik Suba, the Pirkuna. Even though she has the Tnaik Suba about the things of when she leaves, like the divorce, which is the Masayim, or the Mana, or the Tosefes, But nevertheless, he does not have to redeem her because it's not considered returning to him. The regular Tanakhsuva for Israel is I'm going to return you to me. And here he cannot return her to me because she can't come back to him.
No, maybe it means that he himself doesn't have the obligation personally to do it, but the community.
Right, but we're talking about the.
Would have.
Of course. That's what I mentioned. Of course, there's a mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. But he doesn't have a ksuba obligation. He doesn't have a contractual obligation from his ksuba to do it.
Right.
So Rava Amar, Rava says no. Rava says now he's going to argue. He's going to say even the Kohen is not chayev to redeem her. Right? Kol she isor shviya gorim lo chaylev doso. Isor davar acher ain chaylev doso. Let's look at the situation. If the reason why she is usher to her husband is due to the fact that she was taken prisoner, which means she was raped, then in that situation, he still has to redeem her. But if there's a pre-existing isser between the husband and the wife, in that situation, he would not have to redeem her. So he agrees by the Yisrael to the Nesina, because there's a pre-existing isser, and he's arguing about it, but the Kohen by the Almana also does not have to redeem her, because there's a pre-existing isser. Right? Rashi says, Rava Amar b'mamzeres u'nesina ka'abayi sviulei, delo ishtabidla. When it comes to mamzeres u'nesina Yisrael, he agrees to abaye. When it comes to the Almana Kohen Gadol, he argues. He does not obligate himself to the Kohenes. Only if the Shvuya, if the captivity is what makes her Usher. Something that's Usher because of something else. That is not mishtabed. The tnai ksuva of the Yisrael of the Kohen Shoven. Really, the tnai ksuva of the Kohen and the Yisrael are equal. El shakohen masna inah, but the Kohenes, he makes an extra tnai. Shafilu tesar alav machmas shaviyasa lo tafsik suvas pirkuna. That he says that even if you're taken prisoner and you become usher to me due to the captivity, I will still redeem you. But otherwise, it's the same thing. So if it's a pre-existing Israel, he doesn't have the chiyuv. So the machlos in Abaye and Rava is by the Kohen, in this case, by the Kohen Gadol to the Almana. So, now we're going to try to say that the machlokas of Abaye and Rava is similar to a machlokas Tanaim. Thank you very much. So it drives you nuts. And you say that we're your mother, right? You won't worry about us. So Lema Kitanoi. Let's say that this machlokas is similar to machlokas Tanaim. Hamadir es ishto. This guy takes a neder that his wife is usher to him. He's usher to get hanar from his wife. So the halacha is that he's usher to her and he must divorce her. He must divorce her and probably give her a ksuba as well. Right? Rashi says, Amadir's ishto milehenos lo. So he has to divorce her. So, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Pode, oh, so Vinishpes. So that's what happens here. He takes a neder that she's going to be ushered to him, and then, presto, she gets taken captive. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Lezer says, even though he has to divorce her due to the neder, Pode, nevertheless, he has to redeem her before the divorce, and after he redeems her, no slik suva, so return to her, take her, and give her the ksuba. Rabbi Shua Omer, Rabbi Shua says, no sin lak suvasa, then no pota. He says, he can just say to her, here's the ksuva, and you take the money from the ksuva, and you ransom yourself. I give you the money. You ransom yourself. So Amar Rabbi Nassan says, Sha'alti as sumchus, I ask sumchus, kisha Amar Rabbi Yeshua, no sin lak suvasa, then no pota. Rabbi Shua says that all he has to do is give her the ksuva, and then doesn't have to redeem her. Is that because she dealt with herself nishbase? Is that if she took the net there and then was taken captive? Oh, or is it been nishpes with Sofa Dira? Or is it when she was taken captive, and then he takes the neder. So if Amar Li Sumchus asked Lo Shamati, I didn't hear. He didn't hear because I think it's pretty obvious. But Unira Devarim She He Dira with Sofa Nishpes. That only time Rabbi Shua says he's putter from redeeming her is if first he took the neder, and then after the neder she was taken captive. Di Amar Nishpes with Sofa Dira. Because if you say that he doesn't have to redeem her if he takes the neder after she was taken prisoner, Asile Arume. Well, then he just goes, anytime that happens, the guy would say, you're Asile to me, and he doesn't have to redeem her. That would, you have some trickery would go on. So
yeah, I'm not going to hope. Sorry.
Yeah.
She's captured by the Taliban. He's
no. So I don't know if it's a Taliban.
He's Zuba. He's Yagadis.
So I don't think. I think it's. I think there's a difference in those days that it seems to me that the captivity here was not for. For beheading, it was for money. So it wasn't necessarily a pitch, koach nefesh or something like that. What? I think they were less moral.
It was just a money thing.
It was a job.
Nothing personal.
It's like Somali pirates. Right, it was just not the prestige business.
Somali pirates.
Yeah.
And the Somali pirates.
So but the get, he has to give her a get in this. It says ksuba.
Of course, he has to give her a get because he took the netter that she's offered to him.
Right. I'm saying it says he gets a ksuba. Obviously, he's giving her the get as well. Otherwise, why?
Well, first he's going to give her. First, he's obligated to give her the to have her redeemed, and when she comes back, he'll give her the get.
No, but it's the case where he's just giving the ksuba without, and she's. Herself,
right.
Right. Obviously, there's a get somewhere.
Get, I don't know when the get would be. I think it's afterwards because she has to be there. I mean, or you give it to a shliach, whatever it is, you have to make sure you give her the get.
Before you give it a get?
Yeah, you have to pay her. I don't know. Whatever
does
it
the
is.
Get come first.
Right? Why does it matter?
Well, usually, what happens is usually get comes. Right?
So the Gemara says, so my love, b'madir eishes kohen kamiflagi. It must be the case is that the argument over here is a kohen who makes the neder against his wife. And Abaye the Amar Rabbi Lazar, and Rava the Amar Rabbi Shua. So let's, how is this going to work? So my love, Mimadre Eishes Kohen. Rashi says, the Kohen Shehidiris Ishto. It's a Kohen who takes the neder that his wife is usher to him. Right? The Ibi be Yisrael, Lo Amar Rabbi Lazar Podeh. Because if it was a Yisrael, he takes the neder to a Yisrael, Rabbi Lazar would never say he has an obligation to redeem her. Shehare Ein Ani Koreh Ba Tanai Ksuvas Yisrael, Vosif Nachle Insu. How would you say, Rabbi Lezer wouldn't say you have to redeem her, because the redemption for a Yisrael is to redeem her, to have her come back into my house. And I took a neder, she doesn't have to come, she cannot come back into my house, because she's usher to me. I don't know why you just be mouthing your neder. But okay.
Well, what do you say, why can't you be mouthing
it? Right, okay, I agree. Ella, b'kohen kaiminon, it's right, we're dealing with a kohen, umishum shani koreba, and because I call by her, v'handrinach l'midah seich, because, or by the kohen, the obligation is just to return her to the country. So I'll return her to the country, and it's starting to take over here. Just because she's usher to me by the neder, but she's usher to me because she was taken prisoner. She's also usher to me because of the neder. I'm still going to return her to the country. The afagav the iser dover acher garim la. Even though over here it's iser dover acher garim la, which means he's going to go against Rava. He's going to go according to Abaye, right? Abaye Rabbi Lezev, Rabbi Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Shua is going to say that you don't redeem her. The amar ainu poda however iser dover acher garim la. Rabbi said, and Rabbi Shua is going to agree with that. Is that the husband Kohen does not have the obligation if iser dover acher garim la? Iser dover acher means his taking the neder. Something other than being taken prisoner causes the Isser. Here it was his taking the neder that caused her, so therefore it would be Isser. So we would line it up that Abaye, who says that the Kohen has to redeem his wife, would say, well, go like Rabbi Lezer here, that says that in this case it's a Kohen who would have to redeem his wife. And Rava would say like Rabbi Yeshua, that here the Kohen does not have to redeem his wife. So Gemara says, no, that's not the case over here. We said the case was that the Kohen took the neder. And that, but here we're going to say, no, she takes the neder, and he was in Mefer. Right? He was Mekayim it. Right? Rashi says, right, I don't know, you can't do the Gemara. They're not arguing about Abaye and Rava. He's going to hold their own way. Right, what's over here? He was Mekayim the Neder. So therefore what? So does he have to redeem her or not? So Rabbi Lezer holds Natan Etzba ben Shineha. He was the one who caused her to be ushered to him. He was the one who caused her to be ushered to him because he agreed to the Neder. And therefore, it's mutal on him to redeem her, even though he can no longer maintain her in her house, maintain her in his house. But Rabbi Shua Sofer, he nasna esem ben shineh. Rabbi Shua says, look, she started up. She took the neder to begin with. It's her fault. And since it's her fault, then he has no obligation to redeem her. So Gemara says, that doesn't make sense to say that that's the machlokas. He nasna esem ben shineh. So if it's her fault, then my ksuba, my avidite, then there's no ksuba to begin with. The whole case of the Bryce was, do you give the ksuba, you're not going to give the ksuba. But everyone agreed to give the ksuba. The question was whether or not you redeem her. But if she's the one who does it to herself, then where's the ksuba? And also, and more so, Vesu, Amr of Nasum Cha'alti is Sumchus. Remember the Bryce said they asked Sumchus. He wanted to know whether he took the neder first, or she was taken prisoner first. So, and if it's she who took the neder, what's the difference? What happened first? Whether the whole point, you were worried about Harama, Well, if she's the one who takes the neder, well, there's no harama here. She started the process. So therefore, we're going back to our original thing. We're knocking out that if she took the neder, we're talking about he is the one who took the neder. So now we may still have to say that marat the machlokas, Abaye and Rava, between Rabbi Yeshua and, I can't remember the time, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says, Elo de olam de adra ihu. He's the one who takes the neder. V'abayim etar tamei, v'rav etar tamei. Rav's going to say they all hold like me. Rav's going to say they all hold like me. You don't have to line up the shitos. Abayim etar tamei. Again, Abayim is the one who says that the Kohen Gadol married to the Mana does have to redeem her because he's returning her to the nation. So Abayim etar tamei. Almana the Kohen Gadol, Almana the Kohen Gadol, kuli amlo pligid dechayv lepto. So everyone's going to agree that you have to redeem her. Mamzeris and Asina Yisrael kulam lo pligu the ainu chayel of doso. Mamzeris and Asina to Yisrael, everyone agrees you do not have to redeem her because you don't not bring her back to your house. Madir Aisha's kohen, but if you take a neder, if the kohen takes a neder on his wife, nami kulam lo pligu the chayel of doso. Everyone's going to agree also that you have to redeem her. The hainu almana kohen gadol. It's the same idea as almana kohen gadol. It's meaning that I can redeem her and I can maintain the tnai and the ksuva because I'm just redeeming her and bringing her back with medina seich. The same way, there was no difference, right? Keep pligi b'madar eishes Yisrael. The machlok is Rav Elazar and Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua, as if a regular Yisrael takes the neder on his wife. Rav Elazar also baser meikar. Rav Yeshua also baser rasof. Rav Elazar says, you know what? You have to look at the beginning of the tanai. When did he obligate himself? He obligated himself at the beginning of the marriage. At the beginning of the marriage, he had an obligation to redeem her, so he still has to redeem her. Rav Yeshua also rasof. He says, no. Look at the time that he took the ned there. Right now, he has to redeem her. He has to divorce her. And if he has to divorce her, he can't bring her back into her house, and therefore, he does not have the obligation to redeem her. That's how Abai is going to learn the machlokas. The Rav retires to Tamei. Rav is going to learn going to his shita. Almana l'kohen gadol. When it comes to Almana l'kohen gadol, or Ramzeres from Sinai Yisrael, kuli amlo pli de inchad l'toso. Everyone's going to not have to redeem her because he says if the iser is for anything other than the captivity, you do not have to redeem. So therefore, the kohenes, Ashes Kohen, was usher to him to begin with. So therefore, he does not have to redeem her. But keep ligi, where's the machlokas? The madir ben eishes kohen ben eishes Yisrael. The machlokas is any case of the neder. Whether it's a kohen who took the neder or Yisrael took the neder. Rabbi Lezer also basar mikara. Rabbi Lezer is going to go according to the shas and nisuin. At the shas of nisuin, he couldn't return her to her house. He couldn't return her to the nation. Therefore, he's obligated to redeem her. And Rabbi Yeshua also basar himself. Look at the time. Look at right now. Look at right now. Right now, he took the neder. He may not return her to himself. But why about the Ashes Kohen? Why does he not have to redeem her? Oh, because for the Ashes Kohen, it's something other than the Isser is created other than the captivity. Something other than the captivity is creating the Isser. Here, that being his neder.
Now, we're assuming that the Ksuva covers the course of the ransom. Let's say it doesn't.
Okay, let's run the Gemara. We'll get to it. We'll get to it eventually. It's a machlokas in the Tanakh. So Nishbeis, right? Nishbeis chayav l'vdosa. If she's taken captive, he has to redeem her. So now Gemara is going to bring up a couple cases where he does not have to redeem her. So Tanah Rabbanan, Nishbeis b'chayav b'ayla. Let's say she was taken prisoner while he was alive. The achar kach meis b'ayla. And then he dies. So does that now obligation transfer over to the Yisomim? So Hikir Babaila, if the husband knew about her being taken prisoner before he died, then Yorshim Chayivim Lithloso. Then the Yorshim are obligated to redeem her because the husband already had the obligation. The obligation already fell on him. And therefore all his Nechasim are Meshubad to her redemption. But lo hikir b'bayla, but if the husband had no idea about it, ein Yorshim Chayivim Lithloso, then they do not have the obligation to redeem her. So
there's still a ksuva though, right?
Even upon his death, she gets the ksuva.
So
okay, but he doesn't have an obligation to redeem her. Obviously, the redemption is above and beyond the ksuva.
Right, but there is a ksuva that she gets. So
always upon death and divorce, she gets a ksuva.
Upon his death, the estate still has to maintain her. If he dies,
Levi wanted to paskin like this brisa and basically say that if the husband didn't know about it, doesn't didn't know about it, that he didn't wouldn't have to redeem it. So Amalei Rav, so Rav says to Levi, Hacham Rechavivi, his Rechavivi, who's his uncle, Reb Chiya, says, Les Hilchasa Kai Masnisa. We don't hold like this Mishnah. This Brisa is wrong. Ela Ki Hai Desanya, we learn like the following Brisa. Nishbeis La Achar Mises Baila, when if she was taken prisoner after her husband died, then Ein Yisum Chayr Lefdoso. In that case, the Yisumim do not have to redeem her, because remember that the obligation for redemption is due to the fact that he gets her property. Once she's dead, he no longer has that. The Yisomim don't have to redeem her. But lo od, el afil nishbeis b'chaye baila. Even if she was nishbeis when the husband was alive, v'achar kanechmeis baila, and then the husband died, ein ha'yisomim chay lufdosa. Why? She'ein ani kori bavo sivnok le'itnu. The whole reason why he's obligated to redeem her is because he takes the tanai and says, I will redeem you in order to return you to me. If I am not here, I do not have to return you to me. I have no obligation to return you to me.
He's
dead.
He can't.
Exactly. So he's not obligated to. And he's so not obligated. The only obligation is to have her return to him. The Yisomim can't return her to him. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Right? Rashi says.
In other words, Chiyav at the time of the capture to return to him, he was alive at that point.
Right, but he's saying now it dissipates. I hear you. This Bryce says it dissipates. It disappears. The Tanur Rabbanan. The chov of the Baal to redeem his wife is dependent on the fact that he can return her to him as a wife. But once he's dead, he cannot return her as a wife.
Right.
So there's no chiyav anymore.
When she was captured, there was that chiyav.
But then the chiyav dissipates.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that he can no longer return, or she cannot be returned to him as a wife.
Because he didn't get around to it?
He didn't get around in time. He died first. They said no to the amount. They wanted more. I don't know. Okay. So how much does he have to... Now it goes to what your question before. How much? So Tana Rabbanon. Nishbe, she was taken prisoner. Bahayu mevakshu menu ad asr b'demen. Asking tenfold her value. I mean, obviously 10 times is just the whatever. Anyway, it's just to say a lot, an excessive amount. Right? So they were asking much more than her value. So Pam Rishona, Tana Kam says the first time she's taken prisoner, he has to redeem her. Podeha, he has to redeem her even for 10 times her amount. Mikan ve'elech, if it happens again, and they're asking for 10 times more than her amount, so Ratzah Poda, Ratzah Eino Poda. If he wants to, he can redeem her for 10 times more. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to redeem her. Again, the problem with redeeming prisoners is a major, major issue that comes up. Also, the problem is, we'll see in a moment, also, you don't want to, there's a Tikkun Olam, they're not supposed to redeem prisoners more than they're worth. Right? So that's what comes into play with Israeli soldiers very much about how you go about doing that. So Ratzah Eino Poda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you do not redeem captives for more than their value, right? Mipnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam, Rashi here says, shelo yargiu lahalos haldemeyan, so that the captors will not ask for too much. I mean, in Britain we say tikkun olam is a machlokas as to what the tikkun olam was. One side was that you don't want them to raise the prices, and the other side was you don't want to impose on the tzivor too much. Here it seems to be Rosh is going according to one, to one side, right?
So it's an objective amount, like what they're worth in the slave market.
Yeah, exactly.
Not who they are.
It's the same way we always evaluate. It's the way we always evaluate.
A billionaire's daughter, or they could be some.
So who's worth more, or not in the who would be worth more in the market? I think the slave market is usually more a physical idea than who's stronger, who's
right. So
I don't know. You have to
decide what they're layer.
What would this person be worth had they been sold on the slave market?
Okay, right. So that's independent of where.
I don't know how they price slaves.
Because they're capturing these people based on the fact that they're worth something.
Right. Now, I don't know how do they evaluate the value of a slave in the market? I don't know how that works. I'm not familiar with that market. So, you are? No, okay.
Did you ever see Roots where they auctioned them off?
Yeah,
so there was an option.
Exactly. But
they bid on them.
Exactly. I'm saying, how is the slave market in Pumpadisa? You know what they take into consideration? Exactly. I don't know.
They got together and they
auctioned. I don't know. I know how they did it, but what did they take into consideration when they made the evaluation?
Was it that bank account or was it that physical?
I'm saying, I don't know. So... So you see from Shimon, he says, "Hai b'chdei d'mei podim." Here, he says that you have to redeem them for whatever their value is. Afal gav de pirkona yosra ksuvasa, even if that value is going to be higher than the ksuba, which is interesting because that's a tanai ksuba. It's making the tefil more important than the ikar. But Riminhi will ask Akasha, Stira, to the parent Stira, to Rabbi Shimon. Nishmes, if she's taken captive, Bahayimuvakshi menuad asara to make suva, they want 10 times her value. So Parmishan apodim become elech rotsa apodim rotsa inapod. The first time Tanakam says she has to redeem. From here on, if he wants to, he can. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Rabbi Shimon Magamil Omer, im haya pirkona kineged suvasa podeh, vim lav eno podeha. He only has to redeem her if the amount that they're asking is equal in value to the, is less in value, or equal in value, I guess. Yeah, equal in value to the ksupa. So here he says he only has to redeem her if it's equal in value. There it seems to say, as long as she's equal to, as long as it's her value, he has to redeem her. So which one is it? So Gemara says it's both. He has two kulos. Basically, he holds that you only obligate to redeem the lesser of her market value, or how much, or the ksuba, right? Trei kula isle. Rashi says lo yoser al dameha shehi ruui li maki b'shuk. He doesn't have to pay redeemer if it's more than her market value. The lo yoser al ksuvas, and also no more than her than the ksuba, the value of the ksuba. The lesser of those two is the obligation. Okay. Next Mishnah. Next in the Mishnah says the whole concept is very difficult to me. The idea that it really seems to smack in the face of how we view marriage. Like it's like it was very financial oriented over there. It's too much money. I'm not going to redeem her. It's more than the ksuba. I don't know. It's just not the way that we look at the marriage relationship these days. Whatever. Just my take. It's different.
No, you probably do it anyway. But what's the
chiyuv? Oh, so now you're answering like me. Okay, so I asked a Yossi question, and Yossi answered like me. Very good, very good. That's a great answer.
Okay.
So the Mishnah then says, "Lukta, if she got sick, then chayi l'raposa. The obligation is he has to pay her the doctor's bills to heal her." And the Mishnah also said, "If he says, here is your get." And your ksuba, and you take care of your own medical bills, he can do that. Because refuah, we're going to say, is like mazonos. Refuah is like mazonos, and a person does not have to provide mazonos to his grusha, so he can divorce her and let her pay the doctor bills by herself with the ksuba. Ksuba must have had a lot of value, or doctor bills must have been, they must have, you know, before Obamacare, it was a little cheaper. But the insurance company's actually covered something.
I thought we answered this already. Medical is a long time thing.
So we'll get that comes over here. So Tana Rabbanon, Almana Nizonis Minichsa Yisomim. The Almana gets, we mentioned some of the times before, she gets her Mizonos from the Nechasim of the Yisomim, because that's what it says in the Ksuba. Right? Utsricha Rufua, if she needs Rufua, Harehi Ki Mizonos. That is like Mizonos, because you can't live without them. Rufua and Mizonos are the same thing. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, makes a distinction. Refua sheyesh la kitzva nisra pes miksuvasa. If there's a set price on the refua, you know what it's going to be, right? So then that's not mizonos anymore. That's a set price. You get that from the ksuva. If she's not constantly sick and there's a set price to the refua, they do not have to pay her from the nichsei aviyam. She just takes the money from the ksuva and uses that to because that's not mizonos anymore. But ein la kitzva, if you have no idea when it's going to end, that's like mizonos. There's no limit. That's like mizonos. Just like mizonos doesn't have a kitzva. This refua doesn't have a kitzva, and that has to be paid out from the estate. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Asu hakazas dam the Eretz Yisrael ki refuah in the kitzva." Here in Eretz Yisrael, bloodletting is refuah in the kitzva because they're constantly doing it. There's no limit. So that's like mizonos, and therefore that has to be paid out of the estate. So this is a great story, and David Gershbaum liked the story. So the relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, their father's wife required constant medical attention every day, and they were paying a lot of money out of the estate for her medical bills. So asu l'kamid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan came before Rabbi Yochanan. Amar luhu, and Rabbi Yochanan says, "I got a plan for you. Izilu kutzule midi l'rofe. Go ahead and get a set price, a set price from the doctor. We'll pay you X amount of dollars from now until the end for you to deal with her. We'll give you a set price." So what did that do? That changed it from davar she'ein lo kitzva to davar she'yesh lo kitzva. And therefore, no longer has to be paid out of the estate. It's getting paid out of the ksuba. So that's what he says to them. So Then Rabbi Yochanan gets upset at himself. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asinu Atzmeinik Orchi Yadonim. Wait, what did I do? I made myself like a lawyer.
Yeah.
I made myself like a lawyer. Because what does it mean I made myself like a lawyer? I wasn't looking out for both sides. I was only looking out for one side. I was only representing my client. I wasn't representing anybody else. The judge has to look out for both. The lawyer only looks out for his client. So Asinu Atzmeinik Orchi Yadonim. So what do you think at first and what do you think at the end? Meikara was his family. Meikara my sover, besok my sover. Meikara sover, besor cholos is alim. This is my family. I have to help my family. But besok sover, adam chasam shiny. I'm a pretty important guy. People look up to me. I shouldn't have any aura of interest in my psak. I have to be very careful.
So it wasn't exactly a resounding endorsement of your colleagues.
No, the Mishnah Avos says it also. That you should hate the lawyers, right? Isn't that Mishnah Avos?
Hate the lawyers.
What's
Yeah.
What?
Shakespeare said that.
That's something else. But Shakespeare got. Isn't there a Mishnah Avos that talks about that?
Hey, the government.
You
shouldn't be like.
Look it up.
Don't be like Orchei Chin.
Right,
Orchei Din.
Okay,
that means it. When you're dying, don't be like a joke lawyer. That's all it means.
Right, so he says over here, Orchei Din. Same thing.
Uh-huh. Well, you get this very personal about this.
Yeah.
Don't
you don't have clients. What are you worried about? Okay. So now we're going to talk about the ksuba, other items that are included in the ksuba, even if they're not there, right? The previous mishnah mentioned a bunch of tnai ksuba that the husband is obligated to the wife, even if they are not written in the ksuba because they're tnai based in. So now we're going to have additional ones. One of the takanos that the chachamim made that the baal has to do write in his wife is the takanos we said ksuvas bin and dichrin, right? The banim bin and dichrin banim zacharim, which means if a woman dies. If a wife dies while her husband is alive, the husband is going to yarshin her. He's going to inherit her. So the problem would be is that she could come in with
she has children
or she has children with him, and he has children from another. He has sons from another wife. So her father gave her a big dowry, and when her father gives her a dowry, if she predeceases the husband, that dowry then goes to the husband. If the husband then dies, all of his sons are going to take the Yerusha, which includes they're all his sons, but it's not the grandfather's grandsons, not the grandfather's grandsons. He doesn't want that. So in order, so he says, if that's the case, if my money is going to be dispersed amongst my non-relatives, I'm not giving a big dowry. If I don't give a big dowry, no one's going to get married. So, because, you know, that's the reason why you're married. So,
Background.
No, that's the case.
Yes.
When she died, when he died, no, I mean, she died.
Right.
The husband yashint.
Correct.
Now, his children, not hers.
They have children together.
Oh, as
they, right, they have children together. They have children together. They have children together. And he has children with another wife.
Correct.
So that he has two sons with her, he has two sons with somebody else. That's the reason, that's what's
they
coming to protect.
But I think that the case was where he yashed her.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, when he dies,
right,
his children yashed, and it throws away her kids. Her kids don't yashed anymore.
Well, if she has kids from another marriage,
the wife wouldn't want. She would want that the kids should get something too.
The kids aren't getting. That's why we're doing it. The husband, the grandfather says that you make the ksuba so that they get the whatever is valued. Her dowry is valued at. They pull that out first from the estate, and then the estate is divided amongst all the children. Okay. So lo kasevla bin and dichrin dihava luchiminai. It doesn't. If he doesn't have the ksuba bin and dichrin, I guess the lashon is. If he doesn't write bin and dichrin dihava luchiminai, the male offspring that you have from me, inun yarshu kesek ksuba sech, they will yarshin the money in your ksuba. Yeser al chul kohun im achuhun, more a greater portion than their brothers, meaning my brother from another wife. Chayiv, he still has to be mekayim this tanai ksuva. Kol shehu tanai based in. That's a tanai based in. Another takana that they made that the husband is obligated to that even after he dies, that so long as the daughters are living in the house, they get mizonos from his nechassim until they get married. So, but if the husband doesn't write binan nukvun, your nekeva daughters, the yahavin lechi minai that you have for me, that our female offspring, yahavin yasum the desi, they can sit in my house umit zinon and they get mizonos minichsai from my nechasim ad the tilkel chun leguvrain until they are taken to other men, if they're taken as wives, chayiv. He still has the state still has to maintain that obligation. Shehu tnai beisdin, because that is a tnai beisdin. So even if it's not written, it's still there. Another takana that the chachamim made was that the husband obligated himself to his wife that upon his death she can still live in the house and get mizonos from the nechasim. So I mentioned this before about the almana until she marries to somebody else or until she takes the ksuba. Right? Once she takes the ksuba, she's out. So if he does not write at tihe yasub beisi umisnazla minichsi, you can sit in my house and get sustenance from my nechasim. Kol yimei meger amunusayach. So long as you live in my house as an almana, bevesi chayav. Even if it's not written, he still has the state still has an obligation. Shehu tnai beisin, because that is a tnai beisin, and that was the tnai kachu anshe Yushalayim kosin. That was the tnai Yushalayim, and anshe Galil hayu kosin kanshe Yushalayim, and the Galilean would write like Yushalayim, but the anshe Yehuda had a different tnai. It seems anshe Yehuda hayu kosin anshe yirtu litein lach suvaseich. They said that you can stay in my house not so long until you take the ksuba, but until the yisomim decide to give you the ksuba. In other words, the same halacha, but who has the right to end this relationship? According to the Anshe Galil and Anshe Yishalayim, it's up to her. According to Anshe Yehuda, it's up to the yisomim. Right? Lefichach, therefore, im ratzu yorshim, no sin l'ksuvasa pojanosa. If the yorshim want, according to Yehuda, they can give her the ksuba and then say, be gone with you, woman. You're out. Okay. So Amar Rav Yochanan Mishra Mishua Ben Yochai, Mipnei Ma Hiskinu Ksuvas Binin Dichrin. What is the reason why they made the takana of Ksuvas Binin Dichrin? So the reason why they had this ksuba, because again they're afraid that the estate of the grandfather would be dispersed upon to his non-grandchildren, and therefore he will not give her a big dowry, and we want to give her a big dowry. Kadesha Yikbots Adam Veyichtov Lebito Kivino. He wants to give her a big nidunya that she'll have, just like her the offspring, the male offspring, getting Yerusha. He wants to give her a big nidunya, so she'll have a large dowry, and therefore people will, people will marry her, right?
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, Miikamidi, so can it be? The Gemara asks, Miikamidi, the Rachman Ama Bira Leirus, Birata Loterus? Basically, what's happening over here is you seem to be pulling the Yerusha out of the sons and giving it to the daughter. Like, he's giving this big Nadunya to the daughter, and now it's going to, her children are going to be getting, the Yerusha is going to her, not to the sons. Right?
Well, he already gave it to her. Maybe there's still money for the Yerusha. I don't know what he's saying. He gave her a dowry. He wants to ensure that the dowry goes to her descendants, not...
Hey, Rashi says... Yeah, see, that's a good question. Why is it considered Yerusha? He's sort of giving it to her as a gift.
Right?
I don't know. So Mika me the Rachmana Amar brought Leirus brought to Loteirus for Asar Rabbanu Metaki the Teirus Brata and Rabbanu come and they make a takana that the daughter gets it. So the Gemara says no Hai Nami Doraisa. This is also Din Doraisa the daughter can get it and they quote a pasuk from Navi. Right, the Hai Nami Doraisa. Niksiv it says in Yirmiyahu says to the members of his generation, he says, Kichu Nashim Viholidu Banim Ubanos. He tells them get married, get women and have. Have children, ukechul ivneichem nashim, and take wives for your sons. The espinoseichem tunla nashim, and your daughters give to men. So bishma banim, possibly makes sense. You can take wives for your sons because that's in your hands, right? It's always in your hands. Bishma banim biyodadei kamei. You can take wives for your daughters, but because it's in the son, but marries the wife. But ella binate mi kamei biyodadei. Is it in the hands of the man to have his daughters take? Husbands? No, it's in the hands of the husbands to take the daughters. So how does that work? So ha kamash malan, when it comes to pasuk is telling us, the nalbishav and nechsav and nasal amide, the husband, the father has to get her dressed up and look nice and give her a big dowry, ki hechi de kavtzi lova asu naspila, so that people will jump upon her to marry her.
Nothing changes.
So the Gemara says, "Ad kama," and how much from his nechassim does he have to give to her? Ad isur nechsei, up to a tenth. Now I'm not sure. Does that mean he has to give her a tenth, or he doesn't give her more than a tenth of his nechassim? Into his nedunya. So it better be the first order, because if he has 100, you'll get 10. If he's down to 90, you only get 9. So you have to be the first order. Okay. The Emas. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. let's say, so the whole point is that the father gives him the dunya. But if you look at the way that it would work with the ksuvas bin nichrin, is that her male offspring would get the dunya and the ksuva. So they're getting more than what the grandfather put in. They're also getting what the husband put in. So Gemara says if the whole point is that the grandfather gave a big dowry, then why is he getting more? Why is he yarshin in the ksuba portion as well? He's only yarshin in the dowry portion. The aim of the avleirus, what the grandfather put in, that her children should get the yerusha. The baloyerus, what the husband puts in with the ksuba portion, who says they should get that portion before the other sons? So it doesn't, you know, imkain avnam yimena levo kasav. Some reason, I guess, it's not if the grandfather sees that even the portion that his daughter would have gotten from the husband is not going to his sons, he's also not going to want to get involved. I'm not sure why. The ema, so maybe you should say, wait a second. Say the whole idea of ksuvas bin nidichrin would only apply if she has a nidunya. If there's no nidunya, why do you have the ksuvas bin nidichrin? The ema, hecha de kasev av lichtov bal. If the father or grandfather gives a nidunya, then the husband has the right. The ksuvas bin nidichrin. Hecha de lo kasev av. If the grandfather doesn't give a big dowry, lo lichtov bal. Then don't have the ksuvas bin nidichrin. Why is she? Because if you automatically have the bin nidichrin, that means they're going to get from the ksuva as well. The Gemara says, "Lo plug, plug rabbanon." It's a takana. Lo plug, it's across the board. They don't make distinctions. It's a blanket rule. So the Gemara says, "Okay, if the reason why they made this chachamim is so that the father would write this big nidunya to his daughter, so bas ben abanim namiteros. Well, why do we say only the male offspring are going to get? Let the female offspring also, because the whole point is that he doesn't want the grandfather doesn't want the money leaving, right? He wants." So if there's a daughter, it's going to leave. If it's a granddaughter, it's going to leave. So the Gemara says, no, kenachla shav yerubanan. This is like a Yerusha. You can't. It's kein daraisa. It only goes according to the rules of Yerusha. So here we say it's kenachla shav yerubanan. They made it like the rabbanan make it like a nachla. And just 2 minutes before we said this is a din daraisa. I'm not sure. Okay. So if that's the case, if it's going according to the Yerusha, so that what if there are no sons on either side? So bas min abanos. Let's say the husband and wife have daughters, and the husband only has daughters from another marriage. So bas min abanos teros. So let the daughter from the granddaughter, I guess in that case, get the Yerusha as well.
So it's talking about the ksu, by the way. It's not talking about the nidunya. Our school says let her get the inherit the ksuva from.
He says here and the nidunya. He says over here. So that goes into a sif beis. We have a machlokas. I don't know. What do we pass in like? Okay. So Gemara says again, lo plug rabbanon. There's no plug rabbanon, that the takana only applies to males, does not apply to females. So Gemara says, okay, if the whole reason why the ksuvas bin nidichrin is written is that the grandfather would write this nidunya to his daughter, why do we say, why do we say that they only collect from the karkos? V'tigvei mimitaltali. We should make the takana that you can also get from the metaltalim as well. We're going to say later on, we said earlier on Daf Nun Beis, that the Yarshim only collect the ksuvas bin nidichrin from karkos, from immovable property, from your property, not from immovable property. So the Gemara says, look, ksuvas shavir abanan, because the Chachamim made this takana of ksuvas bin nidichrin like the din of the ksuva of the wife, for the ksuva. And the ksuva is a shtar, and the metaltalim of the yisomim are not meshuba to the ksuva. So to hear the metaltalim are not meshuba. Tosos here points out, and Tosos points out almost in every daf where we're talking about metaltalim by the ksuva, that only was but at those times. But it came to the Gaonim, at those times, wealth was determined by real estate. But at the same time, the Gaonim realized that people became more merchant, it was more of a merchant class, and people with metaltalim were very, very wealthy as well, and then you started to be able to collect from the metaltalim as well. And Rashi says, Tosos, he says here, it's a small Tosos of Tikva. The harshta shetikno agaonim shiksuva govim mitatli ksuva bendirchen nami govim mitatlim da ksuva sharibanan equals to the ksuva. If they can get mitatlim, they can get mitatlim. The Gemara says, okay, if you made it like a ksuva, well then a ksuva has one thing also. Ksuva has a lien. There's a lien. So tish drove mi mishade. They should get it from the lekuchos as well. These children should of the ksuvas bar nidichrin should be able to collect from the nechasim mishubadim. But that is the machlokes we see later on. Daf nun hey. So our answer is yirsun tnan, right? It's yirsun. It's a Yerusha. They say it comes as a Yerusha, and a Yerusha you don't get from the Chasim Mishubadim, apparently. The Gemara says, Ve'ema...
A ksuva you don't get it.
I think so. I don't think that's the...
no money left.
But it's also, it's a ksuva mitin Yerusha. So you only get it from the free property. It's Lush and Yerusha. So the Yerusha they only get from Mishubadim.
The wife though, could she get from Mishubadim?
The Ksuba she does get from Mishubadim.
But not
the Ksuba, but in different. Oh, but in different portion.
Keep saying the mother Ksuba.
But in different portion doesn't get. So the Gemara says the Ema Afal Gav de Leka Mosar Dinar. Okay, the idea with the Ksuvas Banim Dichrin is that the only way you have the Ksuvas Banim Dichrin is if after you pay off these grandsons, after you pay off these grandsons, there's still more in the estate to provide to the other children as well. But so we should say that the Ksuvas Banim Dichrin should jump that, should trump that, and should automatically go to them even if there is no excess in the estate. The Ema Afagav de Leka Moser Dinar. So the Gemara says no, but Makum de Kaimei Kara Nachal de Araisa. Lo takina rabbanan. The Chacham did not make this takana of ksuvas banim dichrim. They only made the takana in a place where you can still have Yerusha d'oraisa. You can still have Yerusha d'oraisa if there's left over in the estate after you pay off the ksuvas banim dichrim. But if you can't have anything left in the estate after you pay off the ksuvas banim dichrim, then you have the ksuvas d'rabbanan takana trumping the d'oraisa. So you can't even maintain, you can't even have the d'oraisa take place. So therefore, the ksuvas banim dichrim would only take place. Ksuvas banim dichrim would only take place if there's extra left over. Actually, it would be two. Probably the two ksuvas banim dichrim. He's married to two wives, so each wife's sons has a ksuvas banim dichrim. They each have to take their portion from the ksuvas banim dichrim, and it has to be left over afterwards to distribute amongst both of them according to the dinim of Yerusha d'Oraisa. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a good day.